Okay, and then you get to keep this dog for how long, Todd?
So I got my dog in February, and I will have to turn him back into the Freedom Service Dog Organization probably next February, about a year in. I have to turn him back in, and then they work with him specifically on harder training, more specific training.
Welcome. I'm Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Every day, you give so much of yourself to those you love. Through this podcast, I'll guide you on a journey to reawaken the greatness that lies within you. In each episode, you'll hear incredible stories of transformation from me and my guests that will inspire you to design and manifest a life that is in harmony with your soul's purpose. You are meant to live the life you'd love. Let me show you how. All right. Welcome, everybody. You're on the podcast To Your Greatness with Dawn Mathis, and I am Dawn Mathis. I have a super guest for us today. His name is Todd Franklin, and let me tell you a little bit about Todd. He was born and raised right here in Denver, Colorado. He has a son named Brett that he says is the love of his life. Brett's an 8-year Navy veteran, lives in Fort Collins, and Todd and Brett get to spend a lot of time together, which they absolutely love to do. Also, Todd is a realtor and has been working in the state of Colorado for 30 years. He says he absolutely loves this work because it's all about relationships. Todd does quite a bit of work with the Colorado Real Estate Commission as well, participating on multiple boards and instructing other realtors on behalf of the board. He's built a certified real estate school, and he teaches a wide range of classes to realtors and to boards across the state. And I've had the pleasure myself of attending some of these classes, and he is a phenomenal instructor. Most of the classes he teaches are focused on contract law and license law. And if anybody can make that interesting, it's Todd, because it's not. So occasionally, also, he is hired to be an expert witness in real estate cases involving real estate ethics and procuring cause. So because of a recent loss in his life, a life change, Todd decided to do something different in addition to his real estate, but something different. And he chose to become involved with Freedom Service Dogs, a nonprofit. And it's through this work that Todd says he feels grounded again, and he feels that he is contributing and giving back to his community. Welcome, Todd. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for that introduction. It was way too kind.
Oh, and it's all true. It's all true. So, one of the reasons I wanted to bring Todd on this podcast is I just recently did a podcast on gratitude over guilt, especially with the pandemic still lingering on. There's a lot of people out there feeling guilty because they feel like they have it better than other people. And one of the things on that podcast that I suggested was give back. Do something kind. Don't feel guilty for having been blessed. Feel grateful for having been blessed and reach out and do something in your community. And that's exactly what Todd has done. So I'm so grateful to have you on the podcast, Todd. Boy, that's hard to say fast and more than once. I'm not even going to try it again. Okay. So, one of the first questions I have is, so tell me how you came to decide on service dogs, and maybe start first by telling us a little bit about Freedom Service Dogs and then how you came to be involved with them.
Oh, thank you, Don. So over the course of my, definitely my 30 30 years in real estate, I've been looking, I always look for opportunities to give back. And, you know, I've done Meals on Wheels. I've done, you know, volunteer work at schools. I've done volunteer work at churches. I've done some volunteer work at the mission or homeless entities. But I just felt something was missing. And there's this Freedom Service Dogs is an organization that I've been involved with and supporting for 3 years, actually 4 years, and financially and otherwise. And then during the pandemic, they contacted me and they said, Todd, we, you know, thank you for your support, but we would really love for you to be a foster parent of a puppy. And, you know, when you're asked that question, it's pretty hard to say no, because the word puppy just resonates, you know. And so I jumped in, and what this nonprofit does is they basically train puppies, and it's usually Labradors and poodles. And they train these puppies to become service animals. Now, service animals, it's a broad word, but bottom line, a service animal is a little different than a emotional support animal, because a service animal performs specific tasks for their master. And so what they do is they train these puppies for basically 2 years, and then they match them with maybe a child with autism or a person with epilepsy or a person that is disabled in a wheelchair bound, veterans. We do a lot of work with veterans. We do a lot of work with organizations that work with traumatic brain disorder or brain injury. So it's a wide range of disabilities, and these dogs are trained specifically for that person. It's about a 6-month period after all the other training. And then we give the dogs to that client free.
Wow.
There's about a 3-year waiting list for these dogs.
Oh, gosh.
I think last year they gave out somewhere between 80 and 90 dogs to people in need.
Wow. And so how many of these organizations are in the state of Colorado, or how many are there nationally? Do you have any idea?
You know, I don't know that, Dawn.
Okay. No, that's
I think it is a national trade name, but
gotcha.
I'm not sure if there's any others in the state but it wouldn't surprise me if there are others around the country.
Right, right. And you were talking about how different parts of that dog's training is in certain venues or with a trainer. So just to clarify, I'm wondering if you can take us through the life cycle of a therapy dog from puppyhood. What does that look like?
Yeah, so the puppies are bred, and they're purebred animals. They're bred at the training facility in Centennial called Freedom Service Dogs. It's a large building, and they breed the puppies. And then when the litters come out, they are they're trained at the facility in that very, very basic training that a very small puppy, tiny puppy would get. You can't do a whole lot with them.
Right.
Because they're puppies. But they give them about 6 weeks of training there. And then it's really fascinating. They actually send these puppies to prison. And by that, I mean, there's a ladies' correctional facility in Sterling, Colorado, and they send these puppies to that facility, and they work with the inmates for 6 weeks.
Wow.
On basic training. So, and it's basic training, obedience training, you know, sit, stay, come, lay down, go to your kennel, heal.
Housebreak them? Do they housebreak them? That's what I want to know.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
so
good.
So my dog was house trained before I got him. Mm-hmm. And he, so what I do is just work with him on a daily basis and basic, you know, heal, sit, stay, and work with him on those basic cues.
Okay. So you get the dog at about 12 weeks, 13 weeks.
Yes.
And so I'm sure they don't let just any Tom, Dick, or Harry train these dogs and foster them. What kind of training and protocol and screening did you have to go through to be one of these specialty foster people?
Yeah, well, they do, like most nonprofits, they do pretty extensive background check. And so that's the basic parameter. But they have initial interviews, you know, lifestyle, what do you do? Luckily, I passed. And then they put you through training for about 6 months.
Wow.
It's not extensive training, but it's basic enough where they teach you how to work with these dogs and be effective.
So you had to go through 6 months of training before they would release a dog to you?
Correct.
Got you. Okay. And then you get to keep this dog for how long, Todd?
So I got my dog in February, and I will have to turn him back into the Freedom Service Dog Organization probably next February. About a year in, I have to turn him back in, and then they work with him specifically on harder training, more mm-hmm. specific training, and mm-hmm. then they go through the matching process where they match him with a person in need.
So how old is a dog when he or she actually gets a new owner? A little over a year? Or
yeah.
Year and a half?
About a year and a half.
Okay.
A year and a half to 2 years, depending on their capability.
Okay. And I'm gonna drill down on you and your dog in just a moment, but I have one more burning question about the overall process. What happens to the dogs as they age and then they become too old to serve in the capacity for which they were trained? Do you know that answer to that question? Or they go up for adoption? Or the people can keep them?
Yeah, I would say it could be a combination of all of those things, Don. That's a good question. I would imagine if the dog has provided service for that client, I would imagine it would be up to the client. I would imagine that the client might be able to keep the dog, or turn the dog back into an adoption.
Got you. So, but the dog becomes theirs. It's their dog. Yeah.
Yes, but okay. With total support. So if if they came to a point where the client didn't need the dog or had issues with it, they would work with them fully, take the dog back, either replace the dog, get them a new dog, or just relieve that person of that dog and take him back and probably put him out for adoption.
Okay, great. Well, so tell us about your puppy. I've met him a couple of times. He's very sweet, and I'm sorry, I can't remember his name because I don't know my cheeses. And anybody listening, you'll understand in a moment why I say I can't remember my cheeses. Go ahead, Todd. Tell us how that part works. Tell us about your pup.
Okay, so my dog's name is Munster, and it's Munster Cheese, Munster 4 Cheese. And this Munster was in a litter, and because they have so many litters that come out, they give a name to the litter. And the litter that he was in was a combination of black Labradors and golden Labradors, and they named the litter Charcuterie. So, which... for those of you foodies out there, charcuterie consists of meats and cheeses and different food items as an appetizer. So there are there a couple of the other cheeses. There's a Havarti. There's a Brie. And mine is Munster. I think there's a few meats in there. There's pancetta and trying to think of the other. Anyway, there's fig, raisin, so there's fruits on the charcuterie board as well. Mm-hmm. So anyway, mine is Munster. He's golden. He's beautiful. And Don, I'm going to put this up to you. I'd be happy to turn the camera on him right now if you would like me to do so. Oh, if not, it's not.
You know, absolutely. Most people are going to be listening to this podcast, but any of you that want to see Munster, you can check us out on YouTube. Go right ahead, Todd.
Okay. I'm going to take my fancy-dancy camera here. As you see.
Oh, he's sleeping.
He is sleeping.
Hey, Munster. Oh, don't wake him. Bless his little heart.
He's sleeping. And that's what he's trained to do. He's right by my feet.
Aww.
And so these dogs are trained to be obedient and totally focused on the attention of their master.
That's amazing. That's
and the
great.
Whole idea behind that is, like, when I'm walking him, I have to go through a sort of attitude process of, okay, if I'm he's actually having a nightmare right now.
Oh, goodness. And poor guy.
So he's making some weird noises. But anyway, I've got to sort of think, if I was in a wheelchair, if I was wheelchair bound, what would I want this dog to do? And the answer is your dog should be immediately to your left so that you can grab his lead or be close enough certainly to do any verbal cues.
That's great. So I wanted to ask you, what has bringing this dog into your life and becoming a trainer for it, a foster parent for it, what are some of the biggest positive changes you've discovered in your own life because of this experience, Todd?
Thank you for asking, Don. I believe that if there's one story I could tell, that would be this, that along the way through my life, I've struggled with how do I give back? how do I, you know, what, how can I give back? And I've sort of struggled with that as to where my energy would go. And I had a significant loss in my life over the last couple of years, and it's affected me like losses do people.
Mm-hmm.
And I just believe that this dog for me was a godsend, and that Munster is in my life to ground me. Mm-hmm. And I know that maybe sounds weird because he's a dog, but with this beautiful golden retriever here at my feet, I have to make sure he's fed, he's get water on these hot days. He gets walks, he gets some exercise, and obviously food and sleep. So you have to nurture. So what I found was I had to bring nurturing back into my life, which is a beautiful thing. And it's love and it's care and it's taking care of something, someone. Mm-hmm. And so this exercise, although it can be hard sometimes, there are days when Munster really doesn't want to do what I ask him to do. And so there's a little bit of puppy in him. The area rug in my living room is basically become a toy for him. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that happen just because he's a puppy. But he was really very well trained when I got him. And I think what he has done is just brought me back to basics of loving, caring, taking care of someone, having the responsibility of that has just been a wonderful thing for me. Because in my feeble mind, I have this ability to sort of get distracted and focus on the wrong things. And this event has just really brought me back to basics, and I'm so grateful and blessed to have this dog in my life. And when I have to give him up in about a year, it's going to be a tough day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you think you'll get another one?
Yes. Probably not immediately.
Yeah.
I'll probably need a little breather, a little break.
Maybe go travel.
Yeah. Yes, I'm planning to continue this because these dogs need fosters. And so this will be my only commercial pitch. But for any of you out there that are interested in doing this, we need help. There are puppies sitting at the training center right now that would love to have a foster parent.
So that being said, Todd, thank you. And thank you for sharing that personal story. I know the audience appreciates that. So if more people did volunteer, would the wait list decrease from 3 years to something a little more manageable, do you think?
Good question. I think this is such an amazing organization. It's filled with amazing volunteers, and that's what I do. There's no pay for this. They do take care of the food and, you know, the items we need and vet care, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I would think if more parents, foster parents, did step up, I would think they might be able to reduce that number a little bit.
Got you. So who would you recommend to become a foster parent/trainer for these dogs? What who in our audience would you be talking to? All of them, or
if,
what's your pitch? I want to know your pitch. What do you think?
If you're struggling with life, if you have you know, constant challenges in your day that you tend to focus on, and maybe you get distracted very easily. Maybe there are things in your life that bring you down. This is a way to give back, number one, and spend good energy. We all have energy. And so the energy you spend with these dogs is beautiful energy. It's love, it's care, it's training, it's, you know, a lot of great things. And I think if for me, I was just I was focusing on the wrong things. Yeah. And, you know, there's a book called the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. I suppose I could have been in that book as an example, but you know how we just get sidetracked and we struggle with things that really are not as meaningful.
Yeah.
This is meaningful.
Absolutely.
This is you wake up, sometimes you wake up early and you don't want to wake up early because you are used to sleeping in, but you know, I know Munster needs to be fed and he needs to go outside. So there's this relationship building that you get with this. And I think anyone who is interested in learning, and the learning not only is about dog training, but it's about yourself. It's about,
I'm glad you said that.
What's in your heart?
Yeah.
What brings you joy? What do you want from life? And this has just been an amazing thing for me. I don't know if I answered the question, Dawn.
I think you did. I think you did. And so there's many reasons to consider this: the giving back, the groundedness, helping your fellow man and your fellow dog, because the need is there. And and you said it. I mean, you feel like you're doing something valuable, and you are. You're doing something valuable that's going to change someone's life, and in doing so, it changes yours.
I might suggest, if someone is interested in this, if you go on the Freedom Service Dog website, and I apologize because if I don't know the correct website, but I'm sure if you Google Freedom Service Dogs out of Centennial, Colorado, that's us. But they have videos on that website of the graduation. When Munster is ready to be given to a client or is ready to go, we have graduations. And the last year, they've all been on Zoom. And so they're all videotaped. It's beautiful. And you meet the clients who get the dogs.
Oh,
and,
how wonderful.
It's just a tremendous thing. So that sort of will give you an idea of some of the people that are in need of these dogs.
That's great. Well, Todd, do you have any closing remarks for us? Or boy, you gave us a wealth of information, and we'll have the website on the show notes. We'll get Seth to help us with that. But we think it's FSD for freedomservicedog.org. That's what we think, but it'll be in the show notes, and most certainly you can Google it.
Okay.
Todd, do you have anything else to add?
No. Dawn, I've known you for quite a while, and you're an amazing individual. And so I felt very honored to do this for you. And so I know you have a wide network. So I just am hoping that this reaches maybe some people who might be looking for that new thing in their life. So I want to thank you. Again, I feel honored to be here and very lucky.
Well, thank you so much, Todd. I really appreciate it. And I know that there's someone listening who is going to, at least one or two or three, maybe more, that are going to check into this or tell someone else about it or tell someone else about this episode. So, Todd, thank you for your time, your valuable time. And as always, it's great to see you and to chat with you. And I will see you around. And for those of you who are listening, thank you so much for joining us on To Your Greatness with Dawn Mathis, and we will see you next time. Take care. Thank you for joining me on To Your Greatness. If you're inspired by what you heard and are ready to take a deeper dive into your own life's purpose, I'd love to offer you a complimentary life reflection session. In this session, I'll help you get clearer about what's been holding you back and how you can rediscover the greatness that lies within you. If this is something you would love, I invite you to head to my website, toyourgreatness.net, where you can take the first step in this journey. Spots are limited, so claim yours today. You are so much more than what you do for others. I believe there is a dream inside you just waiting to be fulfilled. If you agree, I invite you to take that first step and visit www.toyourgreatness.net right now. I can't wait to meet with you. My name is Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Remember, your greatness lies within you. See you next time. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I invite you to subscribe and keep listening. Remember to like, share, and review this podcast to help other listeners like you find their way to this heart-centered community. Thank you so much.